This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sing it, Hugh.
Hell no. I could just see Elliot dancing to this with his lovely wife. I could see that at his wedding. Did he dance at this? Did you dance with your wife at your wedding with this?
Let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks, who is with us right now. Elliot,
yeah, how are we doing?
I mean, come on. Of course I dance with my wife at the wedding. Come on.
To this song.
First dance. No, this wasn't our song. Our song was Paradise by Jeremiah, but that was
what
not. I think you would like that song.
It's a good song.
Kyle, I don't know if you can do that for a
You
return.
Can't hum like a few bars?
I'll work on it. Hugh looks very confused.
He does.
Right now.
Elliot had a wonderful wedding. Elliot had a really cool green suit.
He
wore green.
Well, I started the trend. Yeah. No, it was like a forest green,
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. And I see a lot of people wearing green now. So I'm not saying it's all because of me. But
you are a trendsetter.
It is coincidental, I would say, yeah.
Well, we could say the Eagles are trendsetters in the NFL. People want to be like them. Elliot, we got a lot to talk about. The draft in the books. Jordan Davis's fifth-year option picked up. All right, let's start with the most recent, then we'll work our way back over the last week. What did you think of the Eagles' decision to pick up Jordan Davis's fifth-year option?
I think it's a rare instance where it's a win for both sides. I think from the Eagles' perspective, having Jordan Davis under contract for 2 years, you know, roughly, I think it's $15 or $16 million, is good value. Jordan Davis has not been what they would have hoped as a first-round pick. I don't think he's developed into the pass rusher yet. I do know in the building they're excited about how he kind of finished the year and the potential going into next year. But overall, he's still a player that is good. He is a solid defensive lineman. He's very good against the run. He's only 25 years old. To put that in perspective, the defensive tackle they just drafted out of Nebraska will be 24 when the season begins. So he still is, you know, relatively young, as you know, especially compared to the draft picks. So for the money over 2 years, I think it's probably what Jordan Davis would have got on the open market. But this also protects you against him having a huge year next year, and then all of a sudden he's a free agent.
Elliot, if he plays well next season, do you think they would explore extending that? Because that, although I understand your point, and Kyle made a similar point that, hey, what if he has a big year? Then, you know, you have him locked in. $12.9 million, that feels like a lot of money for what he's provided so far. Do you think they would try to extend him and then lower that cap number as years go on? Because they don't even want to pay, you know, Goddard 11 on the cap this year. To pay Davis 12.9 next year feels kind of heavy.
So I actually don't think it's that much of an overpay. I would agree with you, it is an overpay. But I think, again, Jordan Davis is a 25-year-old, like, very good run stopper that is an unbelievable athlete. Like, I think on the open market, he's probably getting $8 or $9 million a year. So I don't think it's much more than he would have gotten anyway. Now, to your point about compared to Goddard, like, I would guess with Jordan Davis, his cap hit will not be $12.9 million in 2025. I think they will either extend him after this year, or they'll stretch that $12 million out over 5 years and, you know, do what they do with dummy years and all that. So I really think this is mostly just about guaranteeing him that cash for 2026 and just having him under contract to prevent against him being worth way more. Because if he does have a big year, like let's say he gets 6 sacks next year, which would obviously be, I think, a very surprising outcome. But let's just say he does. Like, then all of a sudden you're talking about him maybe being like worth $20 million a year, you know, next year as a 26-year-old former first-round pick. So I think it's smart business to lock him in at that rate.
You know, Elliot, I'm kind of curious. When you look at this depth chart right now, in the addition of Ty Robinson, and you talk about Jahad Campbell, do you think that the Eagles are going to run a true 3-4, or are they going to still slide from that 4-3 to 3-4 front? As far as the constructed right now.
Yeah, so I do think the nice thing about Jahad Campbell is, like, he is a true 3-4 edge that can drop back into coverage. You, like, they've had guys do it. Like, Josh Sweat did it, but Josh Sweat can't really do it. Brandon Graham would do it, but Brandon Graham can't really do it. I do think Jahad Campbell does give them the true flexibility of lining up in a 3-4 and having him drop back, but also because of his edge rushing potential, I think you could look at that too as a 4-3 if you wanted and have him move forward. So I don't think that the personnel is going to change too much what Vic Fangio does. Mm-hmm. I know that he wants to coach around the players he has, but Vic also does what Vic does. So I would be surprised if there's too much of a schematic change in terms of what they do next year based off the draft picks.
Elliot, we haven't spoken to you since your trip to the White House to cover the Eagles there.
How was that?
What was that like? Obviously, what you observed and the whole thing, but just for you to do that, because obviously the Eagles didn't attend when they won in 2017, so this was your first chance to cover the Eagles Super Bowl champions at the White House. I have to imagine it was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, I mean, I in terms of an experience, it's some like a professional thing to get to do and just to live through. Like, yeah, it was cool. Like, I haven't been to the White House. I think I went in third grade on maybe a field trip or something, but I've never been inside the gates. Getting in was not easy, let me tell you that. They don't mess around. The security there is no joke. But I thought it was a cool experience. And in terms of like all the different discussions about and everything, I think that it kind of ended up being a situation where everyone kind of got what they wanted. If you didn't want them to go to the White House, well, good news. Like, basically none of the players on the rosters went besides Saquon and the offensive line. So a lot of them decided not to go. If you wanted them to go, well, they did go. Like, Nick was there, Lurie was there, Saquon's a big part of the team. And if you just don't want to think about whether they should go or not, it was a day for everybody to remember that they did win the Super Bowl. So really cool experience. I'm happy I got the chance to cover the event. And I think that for all that it could have been, for better or worse, it was mostly just like a down the middle kind of boring day in terms of the actual speech and everything.
Which is probably what the Eagles wanted. And then they got to go. And for those who wanted to go, they got to go. And obviously it was optional for all the players out there. All right, Elliot, let's now talk about the draft and now the kind of view the whole thing big picture. Elliot, I'm curious where you're at on Jahad Campbell. And I know you've said a lot since we were together Thursday night into Friday and over the last couple of days that you believe that he will eventually become a productive edge, and that's kind of be a transition. They're going to give him a certain amount this year and then into the next few years. I'm wondering what you think of what's come out about the medicals. Albert Breer put out a couple of days ago that it's not just a shoulder, it's shoulders and knees. Yeah. What do you know? What do you hear? And how big of a concern is it? Because the Eagles have had some success, right? Landon Dickerson was banged up, and he's been great. Sidney Jones got hurt, and then he was nothing here. So there's, it could go either way. What do you know? What do you think about the medical concerns around Jahad Campbell?
I mean, it's definitely not something you want to hear, right? I mean, two shoulders and two knees. I can't think of, truly maybe two worst areas for a linebacker to have problems in terms of lower body and then your shoulders. So it definitely is not ideal. I think a couple things on it. One, my understanding, and this is just from what I've heard, like, I think he'll be in training camp. Now, could he suffer a setback? Yeah, like, sure, things could happen. But I believe he will partake in training camp. Like, he's working out now. I think he'll be there. In terms of long term, like, that's something only the Eagles can answer truly. And I do think, though, you should probably look at the actions of what's happened more than the words. And the Eagles, I think, like, let's just say they would have had the 21st pick or the 20th pick. I think they would have taken Jahad Campbell there. So they must feel pretty confident about where his medicals are at. That doesn't mean they'll be correct. All the doctors can do is look at the information they have and guess, right? I mean, not to compare him to Joel, but like, what, 10 doctors looked at Joel's knees and thought it would be okay, and clearly it's been a disaster. So, you have no idea how this will truly play out, but it's not a good thing to hear about a draft pick for sure.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. All right, Elliot, once the draft is over, I always feel like during a draft you have an opinion like each moment, like as it goes on, and then the draft picked, and then they take this one. When you got to see the whole picture, what was your takeaway post-draft of the entire thing they did over the weekend?
So I would say I like the draft. I wouldn't say I love the draft. And I also think it strikes me as a draft where I would guess it's not really how the Eagles thought it would play out either. Like, if you showed them the 10 players they ended up with after the draft, I bet they would be pretty surprised at the outcome as well. And I say that because I don't think they thought they would get Jahad Campbell. And it's good in a way if you look at it. Like, he fell to them, he's viewed as a top 15 talent, and they got him. And that's a positive. But the flip side of that is when you don't think you're going to get somebody, and then in the last few days leading up to the draft, all of a sudden it seems like there's a possibility. That's a little bit of a scramble drill, right? Like, we think we could get this guy. Are we sure we want him? And there's, it doesn't feel like it was a pick where they thought all along it could happen. And then you look at the rest of the draft, and of the 10 picks that they made, I believe not a single one came in for a top 30 visit. And, you know, again, you can say, well, it's just one aspect of the draft process, not a big deal. But the Eagles have shown to value that. They have drafted a lot of players that have come into top 30 visits. So I would guess it was not part of the plan to not draft anyone from the top 30 visit. Then you look at the size of the secondary players they drafted in Mukuba and McWilliams. They're both very undersized. Maybe they can still play, but not traditional Eagles picks, in my opinion. And then Ty Robinson is on the older side. He'll be 24 years old next month, I think. So there's just a lot of qualities of it that, to me, don't scream Howie Roseman and the Eagles. Doesn't mean it won't be a good draft. Doesn't mean they can't play. But it didn't feel to me like a draft that screamed Howie and kind of what they've done to be successful.
Yeah, it was a different Eagles draft. I agree with it. Older, undersized linebacker, safety first picks, and I know Jihad probably could become an edge. But it's just, yeah. I'm with you. It wasn't your typical Eagles draft. All right, Elliot, before you go, we do have your song here. So Kyle found your song here. Hugh, this is the Elliot song he was trying to tell you about.
Oh, I knew life would be all right.
What do you think, Hugh?
It gets better, better.
Kind of slow.
Better.
Well, I mean, it's a slow
it's
song.
A wedding
it's
dance
a wedding
song.
Dance song.
This is officially a wedding dance song?
Wait, this was our first dance song.
Yeah. And once it becomes someone's wedding song, it's
their song.
Yeah, so officially now to me is a wedding song.
It's kind of
well, and also the first song is supposed to be slow.
Right. It's a,
like,
it's
I don't
a slow
think,
dance.
Yeah. Like, you don't play a banger for your first wedding song.
I think
song.
I played a banger.
Did you?
No, I think so.
You remember what it was?
Played the Ludacris song from earlier?
No. You know what? I want to say it was Here and Now by Luther Vandross. Because that's probably, yeah. But I'm probably wrong. And I'm glad my ex-wife is not listening. She would probably be pissed right now.
There you go. Well, yeah, it's a nice
but I think
nice
it was Here
song.
And Now.
Yeah. You should listen to it on the ride home today. You can listen to the whole thing, All of Paradise. Mm. I think you'd like it.
You know, I think you should do Elliot the favor and listen to it. All
right? Song?
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. And we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, sounds
have a good one,
there
man.
He goes. Elliot Shore Parks there. 215-592-9494. That was interesting the way he framed the draft. Not an Eagles. Like, if you had showed the Eagles their draft before it happened, they may have been surprised it played out that way. I think that's a fair characterization.
Yeah, because he failed. I get it.
Well, and they did things they don't usually do. Again, he said they didn't take anyone that had a top 30 visit. They usually do that. They don't usually take linebackers in the first round. They don't usually take safeties in the second round, like undersized safeties. So, again, none of this means it's a bad draft. We got to see the players play. But it was not typical of the Eagles. 215-592-9494. All right, if you just hopped in, I need Trey Turner off a shortstop. I need him off a shortstop today and yesterday and tomorrow. The time has come here. Can we hear what it sounded like last night? Let's play some of these moments last night. As the Phillies hold on barely, or I didn't say hold on. They won barely in the ninth inning. Eighth inning. Let's hear how it sounded as Alvarado had runners on first and third, and the ball was hit right to Trey Turner.
Left side, they're even with the bags. Sosa a little bit deeper than the baseline at second. Harper on the bag at first. And the pitch to Lowe, swinging a ground ball right at Turner. He's got it. Thought about stepping on second. Instead, throws wildly home. JT has to come away from the plate. The runner at third goes back, and now the bases are loaded with nobody out. Turner was, it looked like he was inches from second. Did he step on it or not? They said he didn't. The Phillies are double-checking on video to see whether or not he did, and he did not ever get on the bag.
Glad you're laughing.
I mean, it's the pregnant
part. Not funny, Hill.
No, it's the pregnant part. Like, Scott's the best, man. It was the pregnant part.
I mean, they got exactly what they wanted there.
That was one heck of a play by Real Muto just to catch that ball.
And that's where you try to find something nice to say about the situation.
The guy that saved another mistake.
I'm surprised at L.A. Because L.A. usually doesn't hold back. But I guess it was one of those moments where you was like, you know, is it really worth the backlash I'm going to get by calling this out? If I call it, like, you know what I mean? So he just said, you know what? Let me just move on to the positive from how this played out.
Yeah, well, so and at that point, it hadn't cost them, right? Because Alvarado got out of that. Now let's go to the ninth inning. Here's what happened in the ninth inning. As the floodgates were open, the Nationals retook the lead because of a home run, but it was set up by this. And in this one, I think you hear more sighs and frustration from L.A. in the background.
Now it's a 5-3 game. Here's Ahmed Rosario with one out and a swing and a ground ball deep short. Backhand pick, Turner plants, throws. It's high. Harper jumps, catches, but the tag isn't there. And that'll be another defensive mistake for the Phillies. And now the go-ahead run is going to come to the plate.
Yeah, that one, and look, you compound the two of them. It was a joke last night. 215-592-9494. Are you ready? Is it time for the Phillies to move Trey Turner off a shortstop? Our Twitter poll today, 74% are saying yes. It's like a complete inverse.
You feel vindicated.
Well, I'm, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy people have eyes out there. I'm not the only one seeing this.
Like I said, man, it was a bad look. I mean, it's one of those things that when you talk about, it was compounded by, you know, the errors that you talk about earlier,
yep,
like last week, and then last night was just the back-to-back errors. It was a lot. That's a lot to digest.
It was. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Last year, we did a poll similar and a conversation similar last May, and it was like the complete inverse. It was like 75% said no, 25% said yes. This thing is flipped because I think everyone realizes this can't continue if the Phillies are going to win the World Series. 215-592-9494.
It's also like the most immediate fix they could make.
Yes.
Because we understand the bullpen's a problem. The offense might not be fixable. But like this is a move they can make right now and help out the defense. And they're not a good enough team to where other things can make up for how bad it is out there.
Yeah, and to go back, just I guess we could use last year because I brought that up. The Phillies were really good last year, right? Last May, when this was a conversation on our show, the Phillies had like the best record in baseball. So I can understand then, it's like, why are we even messing with this? We're good anyway. And I didn't agree with that, but I at least understood it. You're right. I mean, this team is three games above 500. It feels like every game is a toss-up. I mean, how many games this year have they won comfortably? I don't know, maybe three or four out of the 16 wins.
Yeah, they had that 10-win game against the Cubs.
Maybe it's just
they're
like
few and far between.
They are. Most games are nail biters, so we can't have nights like last night. And at least we got Hugh Douglas over here, who's, you know, we know to be a company man. At least he is on board with the idea of telling
known
Trey,
company man, Hugh Douglas.
Sure.
I'm just saying, man. I'm first of all, I'm not that.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, I mean, it was a bad look last night. You can't look at that and think that everything is okay because.
No.
Like I said, if we'd have lost that game, that would have been the conversation today.
We have other company man theories about Hugh, by the way, in, as You People comes around.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course they have. They have. Of course they do.
A lot of venom in your voice when you're talking about
You
People.
I'm just saying.
You got bass in your voice for the You People?
I'm just saying. the You People, they always got something to say. Don't like the colors. I always make it fun of the color shirts and everything.
You were super Grover yesterday. That was good.
Super Grover was good.
Every day, man.
Yeah.
Every day.
Have you let You People kind of get into your head when you're picking out your shirt?
Oh,
no.
He definitely does.
Yeah, he's
dressing up the morning. He's like,
no,
what are the You People going to say?
I sleep good at night. The only thing they got me on was, what was it last night? The company man thing hurt my feelings.
The commitment, being afraid of commitment.
Oh, the commitment thing.
Well, I mean, it's...
I've heard that. Like, because it's like, you have conversations like that. I'm not afraid of commitment.
Truth hurts, Hugh. All right, 215-592-9490. You keep saying it. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Bruce.
About that earlier.
That's all right. You got business to conduct. We get it.
Yeah, it had a hot phone call that came in, man. So, but no, this is a great discussion about Turner. I mean, Dan, I feel like deja vu. I just got finished the last time I talked to you about him making these lame brain, dumbass plays out in the outfield. And I'm going to tell you, I saw it, you know, like firsthand. Because I'm kind of like situational with the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real superstitious. I say if I don't look at the beginning of the game, I tend not to go back to it because I'm like Slap Rock. When I turn something on, something bad happens. And sure as hell, like clockwork, that's exactly what happened. I think I was looking at a half an inning when I saw the first error in the seventh inning. And then I turned it off again and it happened again in the ninth. So I'm done with Turner. I really mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And freaking Topper and these guys, you know, they're being passive about it, and it's just pissing me off, you know. They're treating him with a certain level of entitlement on not moving him. But here I got an interim solution because Joe, I love the whole thing about the outfield. But in the meantime, let's say for example, you know, we run with that, right? But starting immediately, okay, when the starting pitcher goes out, Trent goes out, and pull him and make him sit his ass down, you know, from the seventh inning on defense, because I think he's cost our bench, you know, our pitchers. I mean, 40 or 50 extra pitches because of his incompetence.
Yeah. Yep.
You sit him down from now on, you know, when the starting pitcher goes out. And that's how you fix that until you move him permanently in the outfield.
So they could do that. I mean, especially when they have a lead, right? They have a lead. They could put Sosa in for defense. And Bruce, a good phone call. The only thing about that, and Bruce, we appreciate it, that feels a little bit like if you don't really trust him in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, why do you trust him in the first, second, and third?
You know what that is.
Coping?
Coping.
Well, no. Well, yes.
Half-ass measures?
It's the Ben Simmons tactic. You take him out of the game in the last 2 minutes.
It is. I mean, and we may be getting there with Trey Turner. Oh, boy, that's a rough combination.
Celebrate him.
Names.
Celebrate all the stuff he does well.
Am I, is Topper going to say that next?
Night.
I don't care. I don't care. I mean, he did have a four-hit night. You have to be pretty bad on defense for us to have this energy after a four-hit night.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's where, you know, I was thinking about it because I struggled with that a little bit because it was a four-hit night and he hasn't had too many of those.
Yep.
But the field play was just bad. It was so bad.
It was
so bad.
It was awful. What do you think about Bruce's idea that late in the game, it's, you know, before the transition fully somewhere else goes, late in the game, you take him out for defense? You could do that. I mean, Sosa's obviously a better defender. Sosa's on the bench anyway. Just swap him out.
I think you just if you're going to take the Band-Aid off, just take it off. I think it's going to happen, but that just is delaying the inevitable, in my opinion. So I think that when you decide to do it, it's probably going to be after this series. When you decide to do it, just do it.
I actually think that's a little bit more embarrassing for him.
Like, oh, it is for like, sure.
To change positions, plenty of players have changed positions. Yeah. Paul Molitor, I mean, you go, Bryce Harper changed positions. I know that was more of an injury, but players do this all the time. That you could just spin as, this makes us better as a team. You taking him out every time you have a lead,
yeah,
feels a little demeaning.
And also, it's like, you do still want his bat in the lineup, especially if they end up tying the game.
Yep.
And it's one of those situations where the game does end up tied.
It's risk to it.
Yeah, then you still want his bat out there.
Yeah, and it would be every night he's got to answer questions about, like, hey, they don't trust you in these spots. And he's got to be like, well, yeah, I stink at it. 215-592-9494. I want the Phillies to move Trey Turner off a shortstop now. No more. Enough of the beating around the bush. Enough pretending. He's not a championship-caliber shortstop. Your calls. I say get him in center field because he's killing them at short right now. Your calls that. Jordan Davis, fifth-year option, picked up Elliott. Also think it's a good idea. Plus, a couple football guys in the station recently weighed in on the draft. What Baldy said about one of our picks that blew me away and made me like this pick even more. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.